committee. Okay, so I just wanted to make sure everyone knew that there is one public comment period on the agenda. So if you haven't signed up and you want to sign up now, now would be the time to do it. The comment period is going to be 3 minutes per person for a total of 30 minutes. So if you want to sign up, it's right here. Okay, so I'm going to start with Tammy. Tammy Bowen.
Hey. I am here to start a dialogue and request the board's support in brainstorming ideas on incorporating Salt Air Park into the face of Kingston. I see the park as a beautiful opportunity and also a really great way to create a welcoming waterfront for Kingston. And I'm surprised at the state that it's in right now. The access is out of the parking lot and the ferry terminal. The signage is old and hasn't been updated. And I don't really feel like, and I may be wrong, but I don't feel like the bulk of the Kingston community actually knows that it's a public park there. It seems like we could make some improvements, and I just want to open the dialogue as Kingston moves into a growth phase and we're realigning State Route 104, and we have all this opportunity for growth in the comprehensive plan to look at that park as part of our waterfront and incorporate the different organizations that will be involved in making it ADA accessible and also just more accessible to the community, whether the entrance or signage. And I'm also interested in providing some information for people that might be sitting in the ferry line, whether it's pointing out the mountains or the Cascades that they can look at, or the cultural acknowledgement for the tribes that were here. So I understand it's probably a multi-phase, multi-year project. I understand that the bluff there is unstable, but I know we can do something to make it more approachable and more accessible. And I just want to start the conversation so that our waterfront is as welcoming as like Edmonds waterfront is. And I know like Port Orchard's doing some work on their waterfront, and I feel like it's a shame that Kingston and this beautiful waterfront town, our cove is when you come in on the ferry, you don't see the waterfront. So to make it just more accessible. And that's about it. So.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
For the email too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Susan Rogers.
I'm Susan Rogers.
Can you come up here? Because the owl, for some
reason, this thing
will
pick up your voice.
It doesn't pick up way back there.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm Susan Rogers. I've been in Kingston for about 30 years. What some of you may not know is that I was involved in the Kingston mural that's on the Century Link building. Mm-hmm. I got an inspiration because the mural that had been there was so dated and tired, and it was like time for something new that reflects who we are. I was also very instrumental in bringing, whether you love them or hate them, bringing the big chairs to life in Kingston, and now there are like 17 big chairs throughout the town. I was always hoping there might be a thrust in a passport to go and visit every single chair and do something that was economically favorable to the town as far as, you know, sit in a chair and go get 10% off on your ice cream cone. Well, I have yet another idea, and I'm hoping this one is kind of an uplifting idea. I have been in other cities where there are murals of wings. Okay, you don't have to have angel wings. You could have butterfly wings, you could have heron's wings, you could have Native American wings. You could have any kind of wings you want, but I think wings are an uplifting symbol. And I'd like to see wings at the Port of Kingston in some fashion. My purpose here tonight is to start the dialogue about how about a little public art at the port that was reflective of wings? It's been suggested to me that perhaps somehow bringing Native American influence into this idea would be kind of cool. And I know when I was at the port walking around, I spotted a couple of naked walls that, okay, maybe we could do it there. Maybe we could do it there. Then I thought about the idea that this thing could be more like sculpture in the park somehow. And I wanted to bring this as an example that you could, in fact, do cutout wings out of some kind of metal that were in the park, like a standing public art sculpture. And indeed, you could go stand in front of the wings and have your picture taken, which is, frankly, it's economic development by bringing people, oh, let's go down to the park and see the sculpture. Let's go see Saltair Beach. You know, it's all part and parcel of bringing people to downtown Kingston and having something fun and uplifting for them to go stand in front of, have their picture taken, get the children involved, lovers, whatever. That's why I'm here, is to kind of start the dialogue and see if, in fact, you folks got the little packet I sent out. If, in fact, any of those ideas resonate with you, my goal here tonight is not for you to say, yes, move forward with wings. My goal is to say, could we talk more about the wings? Do you like the Native American symbolism idea? Mm-hmm. Who's going to pay for it? I don't know. But, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And that can always be taken care of later. Mm-hmm. So the goal in my 3 minutes is to start the idea rolling and let's see where it goes from here. And I'm open to fleshing out any idea you come up with. Mm-hmm. And I can do the work and come back to you again with something more fleshed out if there's a direction you could give me. Mm-hmm. How'd I do?
Thank you. Good job.
3 minutes
out. Good job, Susan.
Nancy Langwith.
Well, after all the uplifting stuff, now we're going to talk about one of our favorite subjects, a comprehensive plan. Yay! I'm Nancy Langwith. I'm a resident of Kingston. I'm also the chair of the Kingston stakeholders. I am not here officially representing them, but I do need to let you know that I do work in that capacity. And the Kingston Stakeholders, for those of you that don't know, is an economic development group in Kingston. We used to be attached to the chamber. We're now private. The port is a member. KCAC, the Chamber of Commerce, our commissioner, Christine Rolfes, and a lot of very smart people that are residents. And we work on a lot of things. Our mission is to improve the economic vitality of Kingston to make it more livable. So with all that said, first of all, I want to thank the port for stepping up on economic development. It's your mission. You took a huge step. We're here to talk about that step. In the comp plan, there's a bunch of sections. I wanted to drill down specifically on the economic development section. KCAC put in their submission, the port put in their submission, and they agree on almost everything except for 2 points. And I think there are 2 critical points for how downtown Kingston is developed. The 2 points are, one is the height of the building. The port is saying 55 plus, and the comp plan is down at 45.
Currently.
So we've got, you know, a significant gap there, and it's all about what downtown looks like. The other thing is the development of retail in the downtown core. And the port's position is it must be retail. And the KCAC position is you can build convertible to commercial. So your initial building has to be compliant with the commercial development as far as heights and HVAC and those kinds of things. But you can have residential in there. So debate has been going on for a long time. I don't need to tell you guys that, but I do want to at least let the folks out there understand. So a couple of things. Greg was kind enough to send me the draft that you guys were working on. So I appreciated that. And I just have a couple of questions that maybe they'll be answered as you do your final deliberations. There was a significant detailed section added, and I just wondered what prompted that and kind of where that came from. Again, I just got it yesterday, so I don't have a detailed analysis of what's happening. There was one that kind of stuck out that I didn't understand. If you are, you know, maintaining your 55 plus and mandatory commercial development, I didn't understand the point that said then reinforce existing code regarding convertible requirement concept on the first floor throughout UVC. That seemed to be contradictory to your position. So I'm sure you've got an explanation. It just wasn't clear to me. And the other one that I don't understand is the statement that all commercial zone property will be included in the storefront definition by the port. But then the graphic looks like the yacht club is cut out. And I don't understand why those two statements don't seem to me to be congruous. But again, you may have a good explanation. So those are just some things that I saw that I point out. We'll probably talk about that at stakeholders on Friday, which everybody in the room is invited to. But really, when you look at in 2018, there was a group put together. It was a UVC working group, and it had members from developers, learned Kingston residents, unlike some of us, and the port. I'm sure the chamber was on there. They spent a lot of time working on revising the code, and their whole thing was, what are the barriers to development in downtown Kingston? What are they, and what kind of changes can we make to get some relief from those barriers? And that's the KCAC position. The port has come forward with a different set of recommendations, and I'm not saying you can't do that. But what I am asking is, because you're changing what was just done in 2018, and I know you feel very strongly about it, can you provide some data or some examples or a study or something that would help us understand why you feel so strongly about your position? I think it would just be so helpful if we had something to hang our hat on, other than we have the opinion of the working group and we have the opinion of the board. And as me as an individual, it's very hard then to try to make a decision on what's the right thing. So asking for that, and if you do have anything, you could bring it to stakeholders, that would be wonderful. Lastly, I have not given up on the process to try to bring the KCAC and the port position together in some kind of either compromise position, or we all accept the port position, or we all accept KCAC position. I don't care for going to the county with a split opinion from Kingston. It's not a good way to approach your government. Speaking with, even though you guys are kind of government, but to go to the county, you know, and not be, this is Kingston, this is what we believe, this is what we want. And we just haven't been able to get there. So I just wanted you to know, we have until about the 5th of April to try to resolve that. And that's when the final letters go to the commission, the Board of Commission. Positive note, one of your points is that to have either a person or a group in the county that's there specifically to deal with development and permitting issues, especially from small businesses. Mm-hmm. And that's been just a big bugaboo. The stakeholders did some research. We interviewed several of the businesses that have just gone through the permitting process and captured their issues. And we're gonna come forward on Friday with four recommendations to talk to Commissioner Rolfe about. And one of them is, so in support of your recommendation that we have some kind of voice in the county that can speak for small businesses. I mean, it's supposed to, the county will tell you it'll take 90 days and it ends up taking 360 days. Mm-hmm. And a small business just cannot weather that kind of storm with no income and money flying out the door trying to meet these requirements. So we are supporting you there, and we're giving you some data to support your position. Thank you, Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy.
If I may, commissioners, just interject. You want to
you stick to your 3 minutes. This is a good idea. Just that one went a little long. Maybe that was determined ahead of time, but so, it's a good idea to do that.
Yeah.
Chris at the end of the table will raise her hand when you have 1 minute left. And then she's going to put her hands up when you're supposed to stop.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris? Okay. Greg Wright.
My name is Greg Wright. I'm a longtime resident of Barry Kingston. I'm here at the request of our dear departed Ray Carpenter. This will be my last port meeting, and I can get into that later. But I have a lot of information I want to present in a short amount of time, and I brought copies. Last time I was here, I talked. This time, everything I have is written down so you guys don't have to listen to audio tapes. Let me start this with 4 copies of a email that Laura and I had a while back. It was to discuss coming and talking at this meeting. But one of the things I did there is I wanted to clearly identify what my intentions were by coming to the Port of Kingston meeting. And you can look at that and ask questions if you feel the need. The next thing I want to do is I want to talk to you about something that I think is lost, and I hate to say it, I think it's lost on you commissioners. You have a group of individuals out here with a level of competence that I didn't even understand until I was writing this tonight. This is a something I entitled Know Your Audience. It's a hard job to be a port commissioner. I've read all about it.
Sorry, Steve.
And I understand that it's a difficult thing to do, and a lot of rules, a lot of things you got to do, things that maybe you've never done before. Well, these people have donated their time to come and assist you in that process. And they have degrees on top of degrees and years and years and years of service doing many things that you probably haven't done. I like to say it's about having a toolbox. You know, when I was flying the jets, I had a toolbox of the things that I did, and I required the use of that toolbox, and I needed help from a whole host of people to help me make that jet go safely from A to B. The one thing that you guys need is you guys need a better toolbox, and this is your toolbox. So I would encourage you in the future to listen to what they have to say, and instead of giving a person 3 minutes to talk to you, set a time to have a dialogue as specified in the Commissioner's Resource Guide. Now, I've read this guide front to back, and I've highlighted areas in all of these things where you can reference, talking about how you're supposed to run a port meeting where people can talk to you about their concerns in a dialogue. The last thing I want to talk to you about is the money that we're spending right now on the development of a hotel. We're up over 200 grand on that thing, and I'm asking myself why. We own 2 properties, the Hill and Toth properties, and I brought this to your attention back in June. Thank you for opening the Toth property, by the way, Tori. I did a drawing, and I'll let you pass that up because I'm running out of time. I did a drawing of the Hill and Toth properties. I could see the Hill House turning into an event space, the garage near the Hill House turning into an RV check-in building. What you'll find there is it's an additional 40-plus parking spots located behind the Hill House and 9 RV spots, which actually have 18 pedestals, allowing 18 separate RVs on a short stay time period, which could run, you know, $50 a night. This, the income that I'm looking at this thing, possibly add $20,000 a month to the port's bottom end. Again, I'm a pilot. You guys are smart people. Take a look at it. It's an idea. But the way you're going to get there is by diverting some funds. That $4.5 million we set aside in 25 for this hotel project, you could do this, I think, for about $2.2 million. And that includes a complete renovation of the Hill House. And in that renovation of the Hill House, you could then, if the yacht club deemed it appropriate, reallocate them over to the Hill House, redo the dock, which is in your capital plan, and then turn the
the KCYC into a restaurant, which was one of the things on your study, the Heartland study. Mm-hmm. There were two things indicated that the community wanted you to do in 2018. The first being cottages. Well, the RV park satisfies the cottages. Low cost to build, high income potential. The next thing was a restaurant. That was a green on that list. Mm-hmm. The yellow on that list was a hotel. Now, I know we're talking about commercial space with condos. I think commercial space is great. Condos, I'm not sure on, just because it's public land. It should serve the public and not people that have money. So anyway, here's some highlighted issues on the capital plan that I thought maybe you could reallocate funds for different areas. Do you have any questions before I sit down?
We're just keep going.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay, thanks, Greg.
There one more thing. I spoke with Maria Carpenter tonight, and she would very much like to know the status of Ray. You guys put him on admin leave, and there's been no discussion with her about what his status is. Was he fired? Is he still in admin leave? If he's in admin leave, then shouldn't he be receiving a paycheck, or at least the family, until such time as his demise at this port be satisfied? I mean, it's in your policy manual, and I'm not sure why we haven't gone there. It's important to Maria. They spent many, many, many nights in turmoil while Ray was dying as to whether or not they were going to have medical coverage and all kinds of things. I think you owe the family that much. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
So next is Steve Young.
Everyone, on a stormy, rainy, windy night. My name is Steve Young. I have been hanging around this port for 50 years. I've seen the good, the bad, and quite frankly, the ugly. And I guess I'm here tonight to tell you that right now I'm not very proud of the port. I would like to see our port be a happy place, a friendly place, a place that's people-oriented, customer-oriented, where employees are proud to work here, citizens are proud of the port, and there were times in the past when I can tell you, I was really proud of this port. Mike Bookie was executive director. He ran a really good ship, and there were a lot of people who were really proud. We'd like to see the port well run, be open and honest, no secrets, have some trust with everyone. We would like the ideal, and I know that might be very difficult, but lately, there's some things that have been happening that really make me be not proud of the port. One of those things is the effort to kind of oust liveaboards. I still have yet to hear why that's happening, but I know the people who are out there feel that way. When you go into executive sessions, it's always just a little bit like, you know, their secrets. And fact is that we elect the commissioners hire an executive, and then the executive hires a lawyer. And the lawyer ends up making just a lot of decisions for you. The lawyer, in many respects, is running the port. And yet the lawyer is, what, a two-hour drive from here? And I'm not sure, I've never met him, don't know who he is, but I know he lives in Bellingham. It's like, well, who works for who? When I when Jim Pabarnik was the last executive director, we had a port advisory committee. And it was my idea, and I started it, and I headed it up, and it was a group of people, and once a month we would meet with Jim and talk about issues that we would bring to his attention. And we all felt it was a really good time and very successful. Mm-hmm. But the minute Jim left, the pack left. Right now, the word on the street is that the yacht club is not in much of a favorable position with the port. And I guess for you to go ahead and spend a lot of money on a hotel and a restaurant is kind of beyond my notion. I can see a restaurant, maybe a restaurant over in the corner where the restaurant used to be, where the tent is now, but a hotel, I just don't know. And this brings me to Ray. I was really moved last Saturday at Ray's memorial. I just couldn't believe what I heard and how I felt. But in thinking what happened to Ray, the first thing that the fort did was fire 5 women. Most of those women were all Ray supporters. So they were gone. The next thing is that all of Ray's direct reports were taken away from him, which I think in any logical person's mind represented a demotion. Then you write him up, you send him home for the last day that he was here. A few weeks later, you demand his keys, his computer, his phone, and you announce to him that he's under some administrative investigation for who knows what. Well, I can tell you when I talked to Jim Bavarnik here a few weeks ago, he said that when he was here, he gave Ray his highest evaluations, that Ray was a valued employee. And here we are a few years later, and it just seems to me that all the steps that you went through and when you finally demanded his keys back was, in my mind, an effort to fire him. And when I look at your own rules, I don't think you followed your own rules as it relates to Ray. So Ray was a pillar in our community, grand marshal on our parade, well respected. There was nearly 300 people at his celebration of life last Saturday, which says a lot about the man. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm here to tell you that as it stands today, I'm just not proud of the fort, but it is in fact in your hands. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Noel Hunter. Is that your last name, Noel?
Yeah, Hunter.
Okay, thank you.
I'm just addressing the commissioners. In January meeting, Greg read a letter to you to address things. And before he read the letter, he gave you guys a lot of platitudes. And I listened, and I listened very carefully. And I thought I heard something, and then I read it. Greg, I topped my hat off to you because what you did in that first or second paragraph is you put at the commissioner's feet anything that you do wrong, anything that goes wrong, anything at their feet. Your hands will be always clean. You're very smart. And I topped my hat to you. You guys didn't even pick up on that. I was going to come and read that to you, but I decided, no, I think you guys need to go home and reread that and see how everything is laid at your feet. Every decision, good or bad, whether you know it or not, is at your feet. His hands are clean. And when things go wrong, and I do believe this court is going to be sued by the Carpenters, I don't want to hear we didn't know. And when election comes up and you're telling the constituents, not our fault, it is his, we didn't know, I'm going to call bullshit on that. And just because you might have immunity being an elected official doesn't mean you're not responsible. And I'm going to let people know that you might not be held legally responsible, but you knew. And I want you guys to think about what happened with the latest one at North Kitsap. People are tired of their officials not being held accountable. And so, please, I urge you to go back and read that and realize with the platitudes and everything else, it is at your feet. And he will walk away with clean hands. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Noel.
So now we're going to move on to the consent agenda. These matters are routine and will be enacted by one motion of the commission with no separate discussion. If discussion is desired, that item may be removed from the consent agenda by a commissioner. We're going to approve the December 12th, 2023 work session meeting minutes, the December 19th, 2023 regular meeting minutes, the January 9th, 2024 work session minutes, the January 11th, 2024 special session minutes, the January 2024 warrants in the amount of $183,394.37 and EFT payments in the amount of $134,820.37. Do I have a motion?
I move that we accept the consent agenda as written.
I move that I second that, assuming there will be discussion of a couple of things I need to want to question.
If there's discussion, then we need to remove those from the agenda, of the consent agenda.
Okay.
What do you want removed?
December 12th and 19th.
Mm-hmm. Those first two.
Okay, so we remove December 12th and 19th. So we're just approving C, D, and E. Steve, you want to make a motion?
Yeah, we'll move to accept consent agenda with items C, D, and E, and have discussion on A, B.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're going to move on to action items. We'll do a discussion period. We'll do it during discussion period.
Okay.
Move on to action items. Approve resolution number 2024-02-2801, directing the executive director to award contract to Washington Project Consultants, PLLC, for general contact consulting services. Excuse me. Greg?
So this is a request to the Port Commission to retain Washington Project Consultants as our port engineer, and this is for an annual contract in the amount of $45,000. Previously, you know, we've attached the resume and also scope of work for this request, so I think it's all pretty much self-explanatory. And so this is a continuation of work that we've received from WPC.
Do I have a motion?
I'll so move.
And I'll second.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 We're going to go on to approve resolution number 2024-02-2802, directing the executive director to send a letter to Kitsap County Commission with recommendations from Port Commission regarding comprehensive plan changes for 2024.
I move that we approve this agenda item, but that there be discussion.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have the discussion then, eh?
Right, after right. You second it.
Yep, I'll second.
Okay, discussion?
I think Nancy Langwith, in her public comment, brought up an important issue about trying to reach a combined recommendation, particularly concerning, you know, height and some of those things. And between KCAC stakeholders and the port, or is it just KCAC and the port? And so I don't think that we should adopt this letter until we've had those conversations.
So do you want to remove your...
I wanted to make sure it got opened for discussion.
Oh, of course.
So when we vote on it, I guess it's... that's where I want.
So you want to remove it from the agenda and to have a further discussions on it, because like Nancy said, it's not due until...
Right.
April.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine with me.
Okay, we can do that. Further discussions. We can put that on for the next work session with Chris.
Okay.
Moving on to discussion items, the KEDA annual meeting. I know that's March 27th, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, it falls on the our next regular meeting day, I think, right?
Yep.
Yes, it does.
Which we adjusted that.
Mary said that's why we pushed back the regular meeting.
Yeah.
That's what I understood.
Are you both attending, Vikita?
I am. I don't know who else is.
I may do, yes.
Okay. I think that tomorrow is the last day you can do the early bird registration.
Oh, okay.
So you might want to let Chris know. It's got a really weird registration process, too, because you can't really, you don't really have a ticket. You just tell them who you are after Chris does it. Yeah, if you try to register and look into the thing, it won't let you look. So
oh, great.
Don't even try.
Okay.
Okay. Chris set it up front, so it was easy to understand once I saw it. So is there any more discussion on KEDA?
Not for me.
Okay, next discussion item was something in memory of Ray Carpenter. The thoughts I had about this, because I know that people have around the community have said things. They've talked about a rock or a plaque, or you know, there's been lots of different thoughts going on.
Mm-hmm.
And what I had expressed to Greg prior was that that I was thinking that this was something kind of important that maybe. As the community gives us input on what they would like to see, that we come up with a couple, you know, two or three different options, and then after some time has passed, reach out, have Chris reach out to his wife mm-hmm. and ask what she would think she would like to see, maybe.
And where, kind of location as well, sort of.
Well,
ideas
no, I
too.
Think that would be up to the
oh,
staff.
Okay. Yeah.
As
right.
to you know, they'd want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not something I don't think.
Yeah.
That any of us really have. I think that would be in their wheelhouse as mm-hmm. to where would be an appropriate spot and a spot that wouldn't have to be moved, and
oh, right.
you know,
yeah.
things like that. So, mm-hmm. But that's just my thoughts on it. Do you guys have any thoughts in reference to this?
Well, I've certainly heard quite a number of suggestions, and including a bench, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone and looked at all the benches and the memorials that are there, so it's very much in my mind, but I don't have a specific recommendation. But I think it's important that we do this.
Right.
Totally.
Steve, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, I think knowing Ray, he did like rocks. He liked geology. He and I talked about that, you know, and he liked the granitic rock, you know, for bulkheads. He and I talked about bulkhead repairs many, many times, things like that too. So, I think a nice rock and a with a plaque or something like that would be pretty cool.
So I'm sure that over the next, you know, period of time we'll be getting suggestions
mm-hmm.
and ideas and things like that. So I would like to, after a little bit of time passes, we could revisit this
mm-hmm.
and then, because I'm sure that people will be giving us ideas.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm. Okay. So we'll come back up with this. Yeah. Okay.
Is that discussion item open to the audience?
No, it's not at this point.
Should be.
We're going to move on to the financial report. Audra?
You may not want anything to do with it.
This report is for December 2023.
This is crazy.
We are still. Gathering the information for January because our year-end process is very thorough, and we'll be writing up an annual report for all of you to be able to review and look at. Net operating revenue was $2.6 million for the year. Total operating expenses prior to depreciation were at $2.38 million, resulting in net operating income before depreciation of $224,193. total net income for 2023, which is includes other income and expenses such as property taxes and interest income, was $107,489 for the year. Cash and equivalents are at $2.8 million. Our LTGO bond, which is our debt, is at $637,000. So all in, we are at $2.17 million, which is an increase of $409,451 for 2023. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Audra.
Awesome. Thank you.
Does the commission have any questions for Audra?
I don't.
None at this time.
I'd like to go back to discussion items. Mary, you had those two things you wanted to bring up.
Yeah.
Let's see where they are. December 12th and December 19th, I think it was.
On December 12th, on item 6, on page 6, discussion items, very bottom it says, Commissioner McClure stated more conversation, KPFD and NKU, about the timing projects. She has had several conversations and around access and usage about North Beach, Saltaire Beach. The second sentence I understand because I talked with Tammy about it, but the first sentence doesn't make any sense to me.
Would it be like just some wording to insert in here? I would think maybe to have it fleshed out a bit.
Yeah, I think she needs to go back and look at the re-listen to the tape and see
tape
what
itself.
I actually said.
Ah, okay.
I don't need it quoted, but
yeah,
that just isn't enough.
Okay.
So that was the first one.
Uh-huh.
And the second one was December 19th. Page 9. 7H.
Yes.
And at that time, we moved the oath of office to the first work session in 2024, but I don't think that's how that happened.
No, when I was on Zoom for that one,
uh-huh.
And so I said I'd rather do it in person, and so we were going to move it to the next meeting, and then I just ended up doing it at the attorney's office.
Okay. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So now we're going to move on to commissioner reports. Steve?
Ladies first, please.
Oh, Mary?
I don't really have a report for this meeting. If we have extra time, I'd prefer to allow additional people to make public comment at the end of the meeting.
Steve?
Okay, well, some of the meetings I've attended this month include KCAC, where we went over, again, the proposals for the comp plan, and specifically more so the Kingston sub-area plan. The detail of the sub-area plan, and you know, one of the things that was discussed at that meeting and previous meetings was that large members of that audience had a concept that Kingston is supposed to be its own city someday. And my feeling about that, and I think that my co-commissioners also respond in that way, is that if you don't have a retail component in a town and allow a retail to die on the vine, yes, we need more population to have our companies and our businesses thrive in this town, But if you don't have a concentrated downtown with areas to go and enjoy meals and places to go buy flowers or a meat shop or a fish shop or something like that, or those kinds of amenities, then we become a bedroom community to Seattle. And so this is precisely why the Port of Kingston Commission looks to the long range. And we're looking to the long range. And, you know, we feel very strongly about that. And it's something we've tried to reiterate time and again in every meeting. And we've been meeting about this for a year and a half now, about the Sudbury plan. So this is not new information, nor a new effort. But Kingston is an urban growth area, and we are supposed to be a city someday. So if we don't have a retail component, we're not going to be able to be a city ever. So that's my soapbox item for tonight, and I'll step down now.
So I also attended KCAC, and Eric Baker was talking at the last one, and I think I brought it up at the last work session in reference to what he was talking about, the North Kitsap sports complex and the rezone and those components. And he was saying that people are kind of lumping them together as one, and they aren't. They're two separate things. That the rezone or the building of houses in that area can very well happen and the sports complex never happen, or happen 10 years down the road or 15 years down the road. They shouldn't be viewed as a package deal, because they're not. So for those of you who are familiar with it, it was really interesting. I never really thought of it in that way. I appreciated him saying it in that way. It really was a different way to look at it. Also, I attended the Kitsap Public Facilities District meeting on Monday night in Paulsbo with Greg, and they don't have much money left. It was really fascinating to learn about their process and what they're funding and how they fund. And I want to go back and learn more, because it was really fascinating. But they're hoping to get more money available. And it was nice meeting some of the people that were on the board. So on the commission, is it a commission or a board? Which is it?
Board.
Is it a board? Okay. So move on to staff reports.
I did want to say, make a comment regarding the integration of the NKU, North Kitsap United, and the Radiant Rezone. What Eric Baker said was exactly true. However, the opportunity that the rezone offers the project is free land, all of the utilities and transportation mitigations, and all of that will not come out of NKU's pocket. And so it makes it so much more financially feasible, so that we don't have to wait another 10, 20, never
Correct.
Years.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's Good. The connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is definitely a connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Move on to staff reports.
I don't have anything
at
this time.
Audra?
No, I don't.
Greg?
Just to elaborate on the KPFD, so the Kitsap Public
Thank
Facilities
you.
District, they get money from the stadiums that were built downtown, so there's sales tax revenue that comes out of that. And the state legislature decided, hey, we're going to redistribute that to all the counties, get a share of that money, of some of the sales tax money. The amount of money that goes into the KPFD currently is about $2.3 million, and it varies because it's sales tax, right? So as it goes ups and it goes up and down, so does the sales tax revenue. They had Northwest Municipal Advisors actually do a cash flow projection out through 2041, which is as long as the longest, that's the end of the period through which the state legislature has allowed Kitsap the Public Facilities District construct to survive in the state. In Kitsap County, the KPFD only, they just give money to an entity to do, like, let's say Bremerton, to do a conference center. They don't operate them. In most of the counties, they actually operate those public facilities, actually. So they need that operating revenue throughout the state for these facilities that they have been funding. So there was a bill this year that went and was struck down, but it was supposed to extend the year out to 2065. Mm-hmm. It is highly unlikely that that will not be resurrected next year and the year after and the year after, and it will probably be extended out because these facilities are basically dependent upon this throughout the state, except in Kitsap County, where they just say, hey, we're going to give you $8 million or what have you. Northwest Municipal Advisors did a cash flow construct through 2041. The assumption in that was there were three projects they were going to fund, and that included $8.5 million approximately, I can't remember the exact number, for the Paulsbo Conference Center. So if the Paulsbo Conference Center does not get funded, then they have some dry powder to use towards other projects, whether it be the North Kitsap United project or anywhere within the county. They, when they distribute the funding for that money, they have different criteria that they use, but they ran that cash flow analysis and it showed that they had very little money left over, and Bainbridge Island was at the meeting and they had asked for $500,000 is all they were asking for through the whole 2041 period. And that put the put that whole cash flow in the red for like 5 years down the line. Mm. And so they don't have money left over if they fully fund those three projects, which is what they've committed, have at least verbally committed to. They're in the process of drafting the interlocal agreement with City of Paulsbo. So there could be something there, but right now I'd say that, you know, if they did what they say they're gonna do, then there's really nothing there. If they extend it to 2065, yes, there's money there. Obviously, in their cash flow model, they're being trying to be responsible, so they use very, very conservative assumptions. For example, 2.5% growth of the sales tax income, and 1.5% growth in costs and expenses. So that just gives you, I mean, it's kind of just gives you kind of a thumbnail of what's going on. So it'll really be dependent on whether or not they fund that Paulsbo facility. And what happened with the Paulsbo facility was basically the landowner said, it looks like you're being funded, we're coming out of the pandemic, I want more money for the land now for you to be able to construct, which then that added a significant amount of money onto that whole business deal, and that threw everything in flux. So they went, kind of been going back to them saying, we want more money. So that's where that was at. We thought, we were just curious because we knew what happened was last year when we looked at it, we were curious as to whether, hey, how much money, because the dialogue we had was we were kind of led to believe that there was significant funding out there available for different projects. And Kingston was high up in terms of the criteria because there's been no money spent in the north end of Kitsap County and certainly in unincorporated Kitsap County. So you've seen, if you look at these projects, they're all actually within pretty much almost all of them, they're within cities, which have actually, you know, whole tax base, but that's where all the money's gone. It's gone to City of Bainbridge, City of Port Orchard, City of Bremerton, et cetera. So that's why they, you know, the dialogues I had anyway a little bit was, oh, hey, you're really a great candidate is to do something in North Kitsap and Kingston. So we'll have to wait and see.
They told us to come back just in case something frees up. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
I actually would like to say something. I want to say that I'm really proud of the Kingston staff, the Port of Kingston staff. It's been a really difficult time for all of us. It's we have lost someone. We have had to deal with some really terrible interactions with some of the public. And I think that you need you need to know that they are doing everything they can to do the best job they can. And I would just like to ask everybody to please respect all of the staff. Let them do their job. Be respectful. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Audra. Tori?
Staff training. Focus in on staff training. You've got a lot to grow.
Mm-hmm. Mark?
Nothing at this time.
Thank you. So our next regular meeting is Wednesday, March 27th, 2024 at 1 p.m. here at the Village Green. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'd like to propose something. I don't know if it's out of order or what, but it seems to be that we have a potential for a working session where we might be able to have a public dialogue in a work session itself, specifically about a tribute to Ray. And I wonder if we might be able to do that at a work session, possibly. And I thought I would, with the thoughts of the audience, and many of the audience, I think, have probably terrific ideas, and wondered if we could think of that in the next couple of weeks. To have that as an item in a work session.
Thank you.
As a thought.
Motion to adjourn?
I would like, before we make a motion to adjourn, I'd like to revisit, since we've just been here less than an hour, that we dedicate some more time to public comment, if there is any.
Someone's had the same thing.
It's not on the agenda, but if my other commissioners want to do this.
I would say that if further comments are constructive or are, I guess I don't have a problem with it. It doesn't matter.
So you want to extend it for another 15 minutes?
I'm fine with that.
Well, what we might do would be to ask how many people want to make a public comment and then figure whether it's half an hour or 15 minutes or whatever.
Or follow up or something.
Ed?
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment. Just looking at your budget, in your profit centers, I've been in mortgage business for 80 years. Well, probably longer than any of you have been alive. And there's some trends I'm seeing in the boating industry. I've been happy. I was president of NMTA for 3 years. I was on the board for over 5 years. People can't afford boating anymore. My small stalls are becoming less valuable. I can rent a stall to somebody with a $5 million boat. Mm-hmm. So I have to build a 90-foot or 110-foot stall. The cost of building these things has gone up astronomically. You've got to figure the actual cost times about 5 when you get through with all of the 12 to 15 permits you need for just removing a piling. I know my next door neighbor, he's been here in Kitsap County, he's been 15 permits, I think he said he has to get for fixing his dock. Your profit center, you can't depend on that marina in the long run. In fact, it may be a negative asset in the future. Your biggest profit center right now is your parking.
Yep.
Because you are a hub of transportation for this whole region. And you can see, if you look at their cost of the parking versus the income, you're making a lot better profit on your parking than you are on your marina. So I just say you need to be wise and you need to have a good reserve. The taxpayers, you go for a bond for $100 million and they'll do what they do to the school that's your bond. They'll squash it. So remember, you're providing boat stalls for maybe 100 people in the Port District, and the rest aren't in the Port District. And the Port District is what's paying, going to have to pay the bottom line eventually. Mm-hmm. Whether either it's increase the taxes in one way or the other. So just a little word of warning on all that.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you, Ed. Jerry?
I've got a few comments. First of all, Audra, I'd like to wholeheartedly agree with your comment about respect for the staff both ways. You know, I think we as a community have differences. Some of them might even be emotional and strong feeling, but the bottom line is we all have to respect each other. I appreciate your comments. I'm in your camp 100%. A couple other comments. Steve, you talked about incorporation, mm-hmm. and you seem to tie it to retail. Mm-hmm. That's only part of it. First of all, I'm not an advocate of incorporation. I think mm-hmm. that is so far down the road, you know, my kids won't even remember me when that happens. but it's really the tax base. Mm-hmm. So you guys are really in charge of economic development. So don't just focus on retail. It's really the tax base, which means small businesses in our community, we do bring in tax base. Mm-hmm. If we don't have that tax base, you know, we're never going to grow to anything that's mm-hmm. going to be close to incorporated.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The last point, I'm going to pass.
Okay.
As if it was bread. Mm-hmm. The gap between that table and this table.
Nancy, do you know what he's going to say?
I don't know. I don't know but what he's going to say.
I will say, I've lived in this community a long time. No, I can't go forward. Go for it.
Okay. No, I don't know what he is going to say, but I have a comment that's right along the same line. And maybe ask you to change your perspective about how you think about how you would honor a guy like Ray. Mm-hmm. He's not a rock. He's not a plaque. He's the most welcoming, smart, the most devoted to the Port District, to the community. I'm going to cross you. That you want something that's big and welcoming, and not just our community, the whole boating community. At his celebration of life, there were three or four of the yacht clubs there. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you look at the comments, Ray's name is in every one of them. You need to be thinking more about how do you carry on that welcoming mm-hmm. character
sure.
that he was. Mm-hmm. And one that it was not my idea, as a matter of fact, I think it was your idea, is to have something like, there's a big thing that's over the guest dock. It's the Ray Carpenter guest dock. It's got to be something that is, that's open and welcoming and organic and bringing people in and expressing that kind of feeling that he had for the community, that the community can give back to him and his family.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Karen?
So I'm going to talk a little bit about process and a concern that I have. Speaking back to the conversation that happened a little bit ago about Ray and the reluctance of the board to take comments from the public, that concerns me. The board can't accept input from the public. You're going to have a bigger rift than you've already got between the board, the commission, and the public. And I know the tribe's in this too. There's a big rift, And unless the commission and the port can fix that and resolve that and put in place strategies and processes to improve communications, you're always going to be butting your head against the public, and the public's going to butt back. I'm not happy with the port. I heard Steve say, I'm very displeased with the port. I'm very displeased with the port as well. I do not see a functioning organization. I came from an organization, retired a year and a half ago, that was very large, that had a lot of dysfunction, and I'm seeing a lot of dysfunction in this organization, similar to what I saw in my prior organization. And as long as that continues, you will have challenges that you are not expecting. You don't even have them yet on your risk register. I doubt you even have a risk register, come to think of it. For example, you're talking about a major economic development, a big project, 40-some million, 50-some million, whatever the number happens to be. I don't see a timeline. I don't even see a blooming Gantt chart. I don't see dedicated staff. I don't see a project manager. I don't see anything tied to that. If I was to go to the president of the University of Washington and say, I want to build a computer for $40 million, and I'm just going to throw a bunch of people at it, you know what she would have said? She would have said, get your ass out. Until I see that, and until you can effectively put that on paper, put expectations in place for your staff, put timelines down that demonstrate capabilities that you might have, or hire people or contract people to put people in the right place to make it happen, I got severe doubts you're going to be successful. I've seen projects fail, bigger projects than this, because of a lack of rigor around managing the project. So two things. You need to fix the communication paths with the public and with the tribe. As long as it's broke, you're going to struggle. And secondly, you need to get your act together around these projects. You've got $7 million on the book for capital projects in the next 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. That is a drop in the bucket compared to what you're looking at for this major economic development. Mm-hmm.
Go well.
Yeah, I just want to touch back a little bit about being incorporated in that. I don't want to get into that, but we can talk and talk and talk, but until people can start getting permits in a timely fashion, I mean, 15 to take out a piling, that's kind of ridiculous, but it is what it is. But just to get permits to do things in this county, we can talk and hope for this, that, and the other, but if we can't get permits, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And maybe we need to be considering as a community having some type of legal representation to deal with the county so that gets expedited. Mm-hmm. Without that, we can talk into a blue in our face. We're not going to be able to build. We're not going to be able to do the economics like you guys foresee it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Great.
So I forgot to mention, 2016, Jim Pogarnik was here, and the development of the portage just occurred. It's beautiful. I mean, it's really beautiful. Greg, you got here in 2018, and it's been reported to me many times by Greg, we've talked about it, that the permits that Jim let them expire for the improvements inside the port, the care and maintenance of the port. And when you go down to the docks and you look over at the guest dock and you see metal pilings, and you talk about, Greg, you've spoken a lot about mitigation credits and things like that. Now, I don't know a lot about that, but I do know the state of Washington and the governor wants creosoted pilings out of our water. Now, the question that I have is, if you knew in 2018 that the permits to remove those pilings had expired, why are we in 2024 and no permits have been filed to do the work? The things I talked to you about in June are as prevalent as they are today. The Hill House is in ruin. Okay? I look at you guys, and I said it in June, I look at you guys and I want to judge you on what you've done, not what you're going to do. We have had two properties that this board spent $1.4 million on, and they have been left to ruin for the 5 years that Greg has been here. Now, I don't know why. I don't know why you would ever do that. I mow my lawn. I mean, why would I just let it go for 5 years? The Hill House is in its current condition because of neglect. The dock in front of the Hill House is in its current condition because of neglect. The door on the men's bathroom next to the boat launch is in its current condition because of neglect. And I can go down the list on all the pilings that are because of neglect. When you come to this community and you ask for a $40 or $50 million project, and you spend $200,000 or more of our money to do the background so that you can go and sell out our property to a developer, I ask why. The Hill House and the top property should be developed because you own them, because they are more in your wheelhouse of development, and I've given you an idea on how to do that and generate monies. Show this community that you're capable of taking care of what you have, and then we'll support you in a really, really big project like a hotel.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. So is anyone else going to speak? Yes.
Just three thoughts. One.
State your name, please.
Betsy Cooper. In relation to the sort of tax base, the issue that's been brought up about the idea of the concern that there would be residential development in this versus commercial development. I do think it's important to recognize that in reality, yes, we want commercial development in our town, but it's never going to happen if we don't have residential development to support. So I just think that's one thing. Second, the port is a very important component and its main one of its main responsibilities is economic development. I think you've heard tonight and you've heard many times that parking in our little town is a major component and it's a major revenue generator for the port. Mm-hmm. So the idea of figuring out how the port can help solve the problem of parking in Houston is a major thing that I hope the court will think about. You have property, you have the potential to even buy other properties to provide a centralized parking area in Kingston that will support the development of commercial development and in Kingston. I think that's a component that does not seem to be discussed. It doesn't seem to be discussed in your planning of even the court property, that that could be a major important component that you could offer the community to support the overall economic development of Houston. So I would urge you to think about where in court property or otherwise you could support parking, perhaps a parking structure. And finally, I think this question of offering and giving away the development rights associated with port property is a major major issue. We should not be giving away the development rights of the property that the port owns and that we all own as members of the port district. To develop a property that the hotel or whatever it is proposed to be at this point, property, I think that giving away that development right is a major issue, and it should not be given away.
Thank you. So I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Huh? Peter?